Welcome to Mrugashira, a podcast that communicates with communicators. It's brought to you in association with DigiTales. I'm Radha Krishnan. Let's begin.
PR agencies worldwide have seen the best and the worst during the pandemic. Reorganizing and focusing on futuristic areas such as public policy and ESG have already kicked in among some agencies. In this podcast, Arun Sudhaman, CEO and Editor-in-Chief at Provoke Media, discusses the agency world, major shakeups, and what to expect next.
Good afternoon, Arun, and welcome to Mrugashira. Thank you for being on our show, and I'm really grateful to you for it.
Hi, Radha. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for inviting me on.
Thanks a lot. One of my first questions to you is around, your assessment of some of the key standout factors, either specific to India or globally in our sector post-pandemic.
Well, the first thing I would say is I'm not sure we are post-pandemic. It seems like the pandemic seems kind of never ending actually at the moment. So that's one thing to bear in mind, but I know what you mean. At least if we think about what are the sort of key factors since the pandemic started. And I would say speaking globally, broadly speaking, I think it has really reminded corporates of the value of public relations, the value of good public relations and of the importance of maintaining, building, enhancing, nurturing strong relationships with all stakeholder groups rather than just one stakeholder group or two stakeholder groups, rather than, for example, just consumers and shareholders. I think we've seen companies realize that actually employees are probably the most important stakeholder group. Also, just as important, I think you'd probably say communities, and all of the stakeholder groups have real value and real importance to companies. And that, I think, has played to the strengths of public relations because, of course, it's a discipline that focuses on all stakeholder groups, unlike other disciplines like, advertising or media buying or whatever. And that has helped the public relations industry. I think, by and large, the industry has been really resilient. Mm-hmm. Over the last 18 months, the numbers certainly from our research bear that out. The industry didn't decline by much last year. We estimate around less than 5% in 2020. We are expecting fairly robust growth in 2021. That will probably continue in 2022. And I think that a lot of that speaks to the enduring value of public relations, and in particular areas like corporate communications, ESG, employee engagement, healthcare comms, B2B, public affairs. There's only been rising demand for these services during the pandemic. The one area that has struggled, of course, is consumer marketing. That has recovered to an extent this year. But actually, it's been of less kind of material value to the public relations sector because the PR industry is so strong when it comes to those other areas, when it comes to areas that aren't necessarily all about selling a product. So that has really stood out. And I think it's also reminded companies and the PR sector, I'd say, of the importance of genuine, honest, authentic communication. People are tired and fatigued and exhausted and worried, and they don't need spin, and they don't need people trying to exploit their fears through product marketing. Mm-hmm. They want reassurance, they want help, they want safety. And I think by and large, many companies, many brands and their PR support rising to that challenge.
Yeah, that's interesting that you started off your conversation with people and employees. Mm. So I just wanted to understand, pandemic also made us realize the value of work-life balance, realize the value of stress, etc. And And there are quite a bit of churn across, not just in PR sector, but across the other sectors as well. And how do you see, people retention and talent shortage issues being addressed by the industry?
So one of the things I think that's quite has been quite interesting about the pandemic, and I don't think this is unique to the PR industry, is that it has accelerated, dramatically accelerated in many cases, certain trends that were already underway. And I think one of those trends is the talent shortage. That has always been the case in many markets around the world. I think India is probably one of them too. We've often seen a lot of turnover at Indian agencies, for example, salary inflation and so forth. And that's been amplified by the unique pressures of the pandemic, where people have started to maybe rethink their options, reevaluate what they want out of work. They've been at home. They don't necessarily want to commute. They don't necessarily want to be in an office. They don't necessarily want to work 9 to 9 or whatever it is at a PR agency. And so all of those things add up, I think, and that only increases the pressure in terms of talent pipeline, in terms of being able to attract talent, and particularly in terms of being able to retain talent. So we are seeing a lot of salary inflation at the moment, because that's obviously a short-term response whenever there is a shortage of talent. I think there are limited options in terms of being able to navigate this better. The industry as a whole has to do a much better job of positioning itself as an employer of choice in general to people who are kind of, whether that's graduates or even people who aren't graduates. I think the industry has to do better in terms of attracting people who aren't necessarily from a narrow socioeconomic band, for example. Being more diverse and inclusive in its thinking will help to attract more people. And then, of course, I think cultures need to improve, whether that's agencies or in-house departments. The model, the PR agency model in particular, is not necessarily conducive to the happiest of lives, I think we could probably say, particularly at the junior and mid-levels. You know, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of hours. And I think that needs to improve, and that's really, really difficult, because you're talking about dismantling a legacy structure that's been in place for decades. And of course, it's not enough for agencies to do that. So much of that is down to how they are incentivized and paid by clients. So that's very difficult, I think. But I think it is something the industry has to focus on. The agencies that we see performing best are always the ones that pay the most attention to their culture and to how well they treat employees, and to the options they provide them, and just to this idea that they are a part of their employees' lives rather than being their employees' lives. So it's about how you can help employees integrate work, I think, better into their lives, rather than just assuming that they don't have any life other than the work that they are doing. And then one other thing I'd say is that the one thing the pandemic has perhaps taught us is that people don't necessarily need to look in just at their local market in terms of available talent. You know, there's more options now, I think, for bringing in employees or freelancers from other markets because of, we're all comfortable now with the virtual and remote working model. Of course, that doesn't always work, right? Sometimes you do need someone who understands the market in which you're operating. But I think agencies, this has always been the case, agencies and in-house departments don't do a very good job of looking beyond the usual suspects when it comes to hiring talent, because it's easy, right? It's just easy to hire another person who looks like you and talks like you and works in a similar business as you, rather than really broadening your horizons.
Talking about legacy systems and thinking, I think technology can help a lot, can sort of broaden the efficiency and productivity, I guess. But how open are agencies to investing in technology, particularly during these times? I mean, have you seen a change in trend there?
most of the technologies are not what I would call a big investment. So I think there are a lot of solutions out there. I mean, and I'm saying this, you know, we've been a remote business for more than a decade now, and we run our business on various tech solutions, right? So whether that's Zoom or Slack or Asana, whatever it is, the pricing models are fairly reasonable. And because of that, because those prices have really come down, I think, compared to, say, a decade ago, I think the industry has found it much easier to make those investment decisions. So by and large, actually, and again, this has accelerated a trend that was underway before the pandemic. We've seen technology adoption really speed up during the pandemic because agencies have no choice anymore. You know, it's either invest in the tech or get left behind.
You know, you were also talking about things like public affairs taking a lot of importance and prominence. But how are organizations, in your view, how are organizations willing to, you know, consider somebody from communication industry for public affairs? How is the transition happening? How should, you know, somebody from communications look at upskilling into some of these areas?
That's a good question, because, you know, often what happens is people, it's almost like a track, isn't it, where you enter public affairs, I think, at an early point in your PR career, and that is the sort of track you follow. Once you sort of hit that 10-year, 15-year mark, you don't often see communications people switching and suddenly becoming public affairs people. You know, the value of experience obviously is huge here, but I think if people are serious about you know, moving from, let's say, a broader communication skill set to actually arriving at a place where they can take on a public affairs role, it's difficult without relevant experience. But there are, I think, from what I understand, a few academic qualifications that are available, and I believe they're available online as well. In terms of public affairs specifically. I mean, beyond that, it's quite a difficult question because, you know, this is an industry where experience is so vital, I think.
That's very true. And also that, you know, do you see more of acquisitions or mergers happening in the PR industry per se, considering you know, the challenges for mid-size and smaller-size organizations to post-pandemic survive and thrive?
Yeah, it's another good question. So far, the pace of M&A has more or less been the same as it was before the pandemic. We will run our M&A review next month, so we'll have a better idea then. But certainly, in theory, yes, you would expect there to be more M&A as we emerge, because there are probably some distressed assets and, you know, there's still a lot of cash, there's still a lot of buyers, there's still a lot of firms that are very, very aggressive in terms of acquisition. There's quite a lot of private equity and money as well. And so, yes, I do actually think we'll see more acquisition. In terms of consolidation, I mean, that consolidation is typically a trend that we see at the holding groups. And yes, actually, I agree that we will see more of that as well. And again, that was happening before the pandemic. It's kind of been on hold during the pandemic because I think a lot of things have been on hold. But I think that will continue.
So my last question, Arun, is around, you know, how do we see the industry 5 years from now? For example, right now, a lot of PR agencies focus on digital marketing and influencer marketing. That seemed like a natural progression. But you did bring about a lot of dimensions, like public affairs, for example, or consumer marketing probably gaining importance in the next couple of years to come. So how do you see the revenue dynamics of a PR agency changing, let's say, 5 years down the line?
Yeah, it's again, so this is, you know, very dependent, I think, on the type of agency and the market. You know, in terms of the big networks, I think we've seen a swing from a sort of focus on consumer back towards corporate. I think consumer will reemerge again, but I think it will be far more balanced and it will be healthier for that. If we're talking about Indian agencies, for example, I suspect we'll just see continued evolution. I'm not sure we'll see a huge amount of change, if I'm honest with you, over the next 5 years. I think we will see agencies become increasingly sophisticated across the board. So whether that's in digital marketing, whether it's in consumer, whether it's in corporate affairs, whether it's in public affairs, I think policy and ESG will be really important growth areas, employee engagement as well. I think in India, actually, you have a situation where you can conceivably see, you know, there's potential for growth across the board compared to some markets that are, you know, already, let's say, quite mature in terms of consumer marketing. In India, I think there's room for growth everywhere, and I think we will see that. But I do think some of those areas that are particularly important in terms of corporate positioning will probably emerge.
And you'll also see a lot more agencies focusing specifically on ESG, because that's something that's clearly on the radar of most communicators, I guess.
We will. Oh, I mean, you know, the issue always with the industry is it will follow the money. And, you know, you'll see ESG practices emerging. Some will be of dubious merit and will be, you know, positioned purely to help firms make money out of this kind of demand. But you'll also see genuine sophistication in the area. I think we're already starting to see that in India. We're definitely seeing it globally. The problem is, I guess, you know, it's not good, I think, if the industry just sees these things as a fad or a bandwagon they hop on for a few years and then hop off when they see growth elsewhere, right? I think it's important to treat these things as kind of long-term sustainable pillars of value creation.
That's true. Thanks a lot, Arun. Thanks for your time. It was indeed a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, no, it was really fun, rather. Really good questions. Thank you so much.
Hope you enjoy listening to Mrugashira, a podcast for communication folks. Do share your suggestions and feedback on mrugashira@digitales.co.in. Have a great week ahead, and do not forget to tune in next week. Adios.